I don't know of anything that better clarifies man's existence than God's Word. And so the more we're into God's Word, the better our lives are. It's wonderful. I think you guys have something to say to me. Yeah. Catherine for sure, right? Maybe Gary? Yeah.
Okay, well, I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life.
¿Y en español?
Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo sé lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida.
Give yourselves a hand. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of people that won't talk like that. In fact, most people, they don't know what they have in Christ, if they're even Christians, but we do, and we relish in that. Today, you can turn to Matthew chapter 17. That's where we're going to start. And it'll be a few minutes before we get there. I want to teach about the exceptional things in life. And the reason I want to do this is to allow God's Word to minister to your heart. When you listen to music, music ministers to your soul. When you listen to God, God ministers to your heart. Now, you're going to eventually feel both in your soul, music and God. But God works through your spirit and then ministers understanding into your heart, and your soul benefits. Whereas when you listen to music, either your soul feels lousy or good, or maybe in the middle somewhere. We have an interesting life because we're forever dealing with our feelings. We're forever dealing with our emotions, the things that we have to realize but maybe don't understand. It could be joy, it could be sadness, it could be fear, it could be love, but there's all kinds of emotions that we're forever dealing with, forever experiencing. Hollywood wants us to have exceptional feelings. And so they use music and noises and sights, words, to stimulate the exceptional side. But I don't care what Hollywood venture you've been on in the past, your emotions, your soul, or your heart have never experienced the exceptional things of God. He just doesn't work that way. Now, you might think he does, but from the Bible's perspective, TV doesn't really come up. Okay? Well, maybe in the Ten Commandments. No, just kidding. The movie, The Ten Commandments. You got to go with me on that one. Okay, so where am I going? I want you to understand that your life has a lot of emotion to it. Sadly, most of it's not that enjoyable. But is that your fault? No. We live according to a set of circumstances, situations, that most of the time we don't have much control over. We go through life experiencing sadness, fear, pain, anguish, despair, frustration, you know, a lot of negative stuff. Now, we do have joy, and we do have good feelings, happiness, wonderfulness, I know that's not a word, but you know, things like that. Lynn just laughs at me as I write my new dictionary every day. But I think you'll agree with me that the majority of the emotions that you experience are not necessarily positive. Okay? That's a big statement, but for the most part, it's true, which is kind of sad, because it makes our lives difficult. If you're to take a day out of your life and rate happiness and sadness on a 1 to 10 scale, you'd probably find that the sadness part would be higher than the happiness part, on an average. Now, some days are happier than others, for sure. And some days are sadder than others, for sure. But my point is that the weightier side of the scale always seems to be the negative side. But we fight to have the positive side. We're always trying to make things better. We're always trying to feel better. We're always trying to do better. And that's noble and warranted. It's necessary. But why is it so difficult? What's up? I mean, we're Christians. Jesus came that we might live that more than abundant life. So why are things easier? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. I've got to let God's word minister to your heart, though, so that He gives you the understanding. Because if you ride on the waves of God's word, understanding is sitting right there in the boat with you. But you have to get in the same boat. In other words, you have to let the word of God minister to you. And just let it do its thing. And that's why studying the word is so important. So, in this life, we're allowed only glimpses of exceptional things. The most exceptional things that we witness are what we call miracles. And miracles are manifestations of God's power. Dunamis. Dunamis means inherent power for you Greekies. It's like the battery that sits in the car. It's not going to show you anything unless you hook something up to it. But the battery is inherently powerful if it's charged. Other than these wonderful acts, these miracles, we don't really get glimpses of exceptional things. The world offers views into exceptional things at times. These are usually things associated with power. For instance, a spaceship lifting from the forces of gravity. A mighty airplane loaded with hundreds of passengers lifting off the runway. Or the great ships of the sea carrying thousands of carefree voyagers. Maybe you've seen something exceptional too, akin to these examples. Perhaps the mighty roaring of a waterfall as it violently cascades to 1,000 feet below. Perhaps you've sat in a plane as it lifts off from the earth. Perhaps you've even controlled something of great power and were held spellbound at the sheer majesty of its unleashing of power. But understand that the exceptional things on this earth are exceptional only because of the power behind them. God has only given us a glimpse into the sheer might of His power. But there is a day coming when that will all change. I've talked about the physical, and I will talk about the spiritual regarding exceptional things. But there is a transition between the two. Just like there needs to be a transition with what you think about and what you should think about. All too often we're focused on the world and the things of the world. We should be focused on the things of eternity. And so that's a primary purpose of this teaching,
exceptional things. How often have you longed for things that are exceptional? Things that exceed your own expectations? How long have you been held in the grips of sorrow and defeat, wherein you were unable to lift your thoughts above your present misery? How long have you felt good about things, but desired to feel even better? How long have you set and met goal after goal, but always felt that something else, better, with more grandeur, was available? Well, maybe it's time to put some of these pains to rest. You can, if you understand more of the exceptional nature of this life as related to eternity. Man is allowed to experience the throes of exceptional, or better yet, violent sorrow. 5 New Testament accounts validate this. And I'm going to show you some of this in the Word. And what we're looking at is a word that means violently exceptional, or violent exceptionality. A new word. Okay. I've got to communicate it somehow. So I make things up. I'm not making the word up, though. Just trying to communicate this stuff. But we learn that man is allowed to experience violent exceptions or exceptionality, and also fear, violent fear. Now, the movies play off of this. Your boss plays off of it. No, just kidding. Things play off of it in life all too often. In Matthew chapter 17, we see an exact example of exceptionally violent sorrow. Matthew 17, verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they, those listening, were exceeding sorry. That word exceeding sorry, or just exceeding, is that violent exception. They were violently, exceptionally sorrowful. Wow. We don't have English words that communicate that. We just don't. You can't just come up with a word. The German does. Maybe the Spanish does. The Greek sure does, but the English doesn't. And so it just says exceeding. Yeah, okay. These sorrow accounts, there's 5 of them in the Gospels. I'm not going to go through them all, but I just want you to know there's 5 of them. And the Gospels are actually not in the New Testament. Now, this really matters. The Gospels are technically Old Testament. But you don't see the violent sorrow stuff come up in the New Testament. That's a different administration. The Jews were in the Old Testament, including the Gospels. No Christians in the Gospels, folks. Just Christ. And then the New Testament, technically beginning with the book of Acts and recorded the 7 church epistles, you don't find any accounts of exceptionally violent sorrow. That's good. But that's a great example of it. These guys were absolutely torn up. Wow. Turn to Mark chapter 14. I will show you another account of this sorrow as it related to Jesus Because Jesus experienced this violent sorrow, this exceptionally violent sorrow. Mark chapter 14, verse 34. And saith unto him, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane when he went off to pray. Okay. Jesus went through sorrow that, honestly, I don't think you're going to ever have to go through. But he did. I just didn't find an example of it in the New Testament. Very few things here are exceptional, save God's creation. And here, I mean, in the world. But there's one in the Bible that really caught my eye. Only problem is, it's not the word we're studying, but after I found it, I had to show it to you. And it's about Moses. So this is slightly off track, but I want you to see this because it's really cool. In Acts chapter 7. God has a way of doing exceptional things. Really hitting the mark on it, in fact. In fact, that's what this word exceptional means, or exceeding means. In Acts chapter 7, verse 20. In the time, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. The word exceeding, in the phrase exceeding fair, is not a usual word at all. Now, of course, the English, we don't see it. This word actually comes from two Greek words. Together, they mean divinely. Put together with fair, which means handsome, Moses was exceptionally or divinely handsome. Isn't that something? God has a way of doing stuff. Putting his stamp of approval on it. I think that's amazing. I can't even imagine what the guy looked like. But he was divinely handsome, and God wanted us to know it. Too bad you have to know a little Greek to figure that out. Well, let's get back to our word of interest. Thank you for letting me get off track just slightly, okay? Our word of interest, violent exceptionality for my wife or exceptionally violent for the rest of you. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. I want to show you the very first time that this word is used in the Gospels. It's the first time it shows up in the New Testament, although the Gospels aren't in the New Testament, I know, but you know what I mean. If you're ever studying something, you always want to go back to its first usage. It really helps you figure it out. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, talking about the wise men. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Just to let you know, this is our little tiny glimpse into what's in store for us regarding exceeding joy or exceeding great joy. The violent expression of their emotions, even though great, was not enough to describe what happened in the hearts of these wonderful men. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Rejoice means joy over and over. So whatever happened just kept happening over and over and over as they stood there and watched this star. Well, what happened? They had exceeding great joy. But God added another word. The word great in the English, it's a Greek word megas, to more fully describe their joy. The word exceeding is that exceptionally violent. I like to use the word violent, even though it has a negative connotation in our language. This has a positive connotation. It was just enormous But that wasn't enough, so God added megas to it. They had exceptionally exceeding joy as a result of seeing the star. Can you even begin to imagine how these guys felt? We've never, ever felt like that. But we've wanted to. Have you ever felt good but wanted to feel better? Have you ever set your goals and gone for things and been happy at your achievements but knew there was more or just wanted more? Have you ever seen your desires met but felt, gosh, I know it could be even better than this? Those things that I started off with. I started talking about how you may have felt throughout your lives, trying to touch on some exceptional experiences, and how the world basically let you down on every account except for sorrow and fear. And I'm not even going to use those verses, but they're in there that talk about exceptional sorrow and exceptional fear. We did see sorrow, but there's also the fear one. And you see that all the time in the world. Is it easy for you to be afraid? Oh, yeah. Is it easy for you to be sad? Oh, yeah. Is it easy for you to have joy? Oh, no. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. But you do have joy. You're special people. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just contrasting, and I think you can relate to this, right? It's kind of weird. I feel like I'm walking out on a limb with this in a way. I know I'm right, but it's just strange trying to communicate it. I don't, because I propound the word. I teach the word. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, that your joy may be full. And the point is that throughout our Bible that's written to us, all of these wonderful attributes are available. But I'm telling you, man, sometimes it's like a fight to the death tapping into them. But it sure isn't a fight to the death tapping into sorrow or fear. You get my point? Okay, let me be the only one that talks like this and take it for what it's worth. It's hard enough. But we know the world lets us down except for sorrow and fear. Those are the two biggies. And I told you that exceptional things are generally related to power. In the spiritual realm, now we're doing our transition, the same is also true. Exceptional spiritual things are related to spiritual power. Okay, forget about the spaceship, the airplane, the cruise ships, the waterfalls, and all that. Now we're going into the spiritual side of the discussion. So exceptional spiritual things are related to spiritual power. The wise men saw God's power manifested in the star above Jesus. No sounds were present. No rocket ships exploding off launch pads. Yet another explosion took place that day, launching the heavenly advertisement of the presence of the Son of God. God's power is awesome and magnificent. Yet it plays according to a completely different set of rules. God's power in this case was designed to draw people to Him, to God, not push them out of the way because of fear or trouble or sadness, or those kind of things. And that's the manipulation effect. God's power draws people. The devil's power forces them away. See? On the spiritual side. This verse is the only time joy is used with the adjective meaning violent exceptionality for Lynn, or exceptionally violent for the rest of you. In a way, that's pretty sad, but not really. We learn a great truth from this. For us, there will always be exceptional joy associated with Christ. Always. You can't think about Christ and not have some form of joy. Even if you think about his crucifixion, because you know what came after. We learn something else too. This kind of joy will always be great, far greater than any exceptions the world can throw your way. If you really want to launch your joy, you have to lift your eyes to heaven and accept the wondrous things of Christ. Matthew chapter 19. I want you to think just for a moment about what's going on in your heart right now. I want you to understand that God is touching your heart. He's talking to you. He's working things in your understanding. If you were to count how many random thoughts you've had in the last 15 minutes, it could be in the thousands. But that is what God is doing for you. He's energizing himself in you. He's helping your mind expand. And he's teaching you all kinds of little nuances about this stuff by giving you those thoughts. It's pretty cool. That's how he ministers to you. That's why I said I want the word to minister to you. And to just get on that wave, be in that boat, and let understanding sit there with you. It happens. It's just wonderful. It's not music making your soul feel good. It's God working in you so you understand and then feel good. And that brings nice joy with it. Matthew 19, verse 24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and this is a figure of speech, and it's not a camel, it's talking about a rope. Okay, we studied that 20 years ago, I guess, but it's a rope. You can't stick a rope through the eye of a needle, okay? Then for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, well, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. These disciples were violently, exceptionally amazed. This conversation had the potential of ending the Jesus-disciple relationship. It was way beyond their ability to receive. Way beyond. They flipped. Well, Jesus, I thought you were like the Savior, you know, the Messiah. And now you're saying nobody can get in? Especially these rich people. I mean, rich people have to get in because then you come for everybody and I mean, it just blew them away. God makes exceptional things happen. Violently exceptional things. He does. With God, all things are possible. The disciples were completely blown away when they thought on Jesus' parable. Well, they were violently astonished, to say the least. But what turned their astonishment around? Understanding that God can and will make spiritual and seemingly impossible things happen, including getting everybody into the kingdom of God, at least those that believe. We learn a tremendous spiritual truth from this. The truly exceptional things can only come from God. So, folks in the world, you're out of luck. Christians, you are right in the groove. Only God can and he will, bring exceptional things to pass. And he is intent on making sure they happen. Because Jesus told him that. If Jesus wouldn't have told him that, they probably would have walked. I mean, they were just stunned. You don't get it in the English. Sitting amazed doesn't really do anything for us. But I tell you what, when you add violent exceptionality or exceptionally violent, you get it. Wow. I've never seen anybody be like that. But I do believe it happened. They were amazed. They were astonished. They were blown away. And you will never be left out from this greatness. Jesus' words consoled and excited his men. Turn to Mark 16. Well, as things would have it, the devil tries to tap into this violent exception, but he only gets so far. In one account, is relating to the stone that was placed over Jesus' tomb. It wasn't enough for the devil to introduce violent sorrow or violent fear. Oh, he had to do something else. Mark 16, verse 4, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Once again, well, these two words were just found in the wise men example. Now we see them again. So how big was this stone? Very great. The violent exception and great are used together. The Bible says that it was violently, exceptionally massive. I don't know how big that is, but I say that's huge. I mean, that's just beyond a big stone. I don't know how many men it took to roll that thing over. But these Greek words are there. We don't hear much about that kind of thing because we just get the English. But I can tell you what the Greek means puts the English words to shame. The rich have a problem in life. We were just introduced to that. Turn to Luke 18. And this still happens today because it parallels in the New Testament. But the rich really have a problem joining up with the things of God. They just do. You know, you might want to be rich, but honestly, you really don't want to be rich. I'll just tell you, and take it from me, you really, really don't want to be rich. You want to have all your needs taken care of and be well off and fine, but not rich. Rich. Luke 18, verse 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto them, yet lackest thou one thing. You should read this account when you go home today. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. He was talking to a rich man. And when the rich man heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Very sorrowful and very rich definitely don't capture violently exceptional. But that's what the words very mean. For both of those. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, violently exceptionally sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel, this is the rope, to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I didn't want to focus on the sad aspects of this exceptional word, but I did want to show you the usage about rich people. This man was violently sorrowful. He wasn't just sad. His doggy just didn't die. He was way beyond that. I mean, he was completely beside himself. It was a violent emotion. It was a violent eruption of sadness. This rich man had that right in front of Jesus. And why did he have that? Because he realized that he could never give up his violently rich, same word, very, way of life. Well, that makes sense. If I was violently rich and somebody came up and says, you got to give all that away, I'd be violently sorrowful. If I was only a little bit rich, I'd probably just be a little sorrowful. So they were axiomatic. They worked together. Just how rich was this man? I'd say that his riches were bordering on spiritual hugeness. That's where the German word comes in. Because they do have a word for that, hugeness. And it means, like, just massive. This guy was disgustingly rich. And maybe the devil made him that way. But he had to have some kind of help because it was way, way beyond the richness of most people. Maybe he even put some of our billionaires in this world to shame, or in this day and age. But my most favorite usage of violently exceptional is in Acts chapter 6. You're learning a lot today. Aside from the subject, you're learning that the word has secrets that you've never seen. That's a wonderful thing. Isn't it nice to learn this stuff? You know, if you ever want to see the greatness of God work in your life, you have to become as detached as you possibly can from this world. Right? You really do. The more you hold on to the things of this life, the less godly your life's experiences will be. I'm a real believer in healing. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm a real believer in seeing the works of God. If you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you'll see the mountains move. I believe all that. But I also believe that man ruins godly experiences day in and day out by his simple acts of holding on too much to the things of this world. You know, like people complain about being sick, so they don't eat right. So they go get healed. Then they go back and eat badly, and they get sick again. Or people complain about not being happy. And somebody says, well, you should stop reading those kind of books. Okay, so then he gets prayed for, and then he feels better. He stays away from the books for a day or two, and then he goes back to the books, and he's not happy again. Or somebody doesn't like something about their physical appearance, and somebody tells them, well, go work out. Okay. So they go to the gym for a week and actually start feeling better because the testosterone and the feeling hormones and all that start going through the body, and oh, this is great. And then they stop working out and things go right back to where they were. Man controls a whole lot more than man's given credit for. You know, because usually when I minister to somebody, especially somebody new, it's usually two-sided. One is, yeah, I'll release the power of God, but I'll also release some wisdom. along those same lines. It's an amazing life. But if you really want to experience the exceptional things of God, you got to learn to like let go of the world. It's just not that good. And it just doesn't have that much that's worth holding on to. It's better to reach out to God and trust in Him and let Him provide your every need. And if He says go do something, then go do it. Because I'm also a firm believer in God directing your path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. You want Him to direct you to things that are going to help you, to benefit you in this life, so that you live life His way, you got to trust in Him. And there's nothing wrong with Him leading you to certain things and you doing certain things and then your life getting better. Because He wants you to live a great life. But you're going to have a real problem if you're hanging on to the world. Really. So if you're tired, really tired of not seeing exceptional things, let go. You let go. If you're doing things in your life that are keeping you attached, identify them and let them go. Just for a little bit to prove my point. Then come back and tell me, yeah, you were right. Because I know I'm right. You don't have to tell me that. I'm just having fun with you. But my most favorite usage of violently exceptional is in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased. And that's that word oxano, meaning growth from the inside out without compulsion. It just happened. It was a beautiful thing. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Shame on those English words. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The number of disciples multiplied greatly. The English words are almost shameful in their meaning when you understand the Greek behind it. Multiplied means abounded. Greatly means exceptionally violent. Putting them together, as the word of God grew from the inside out without compulsion in Jerusalem, the number of disciples exploded violently. Wow. Okay, I'll say that again. Wow. That gives a new meaning to why we want to pray to the Lord of the harvest to ekbalo, throw out laborers into the harvest for us. Well, that's exactly what God did in Jerusalem. Why don't we pray for the same violent explosion of disciples, followers, laborers? Well, sadly, we don't find relief to our desires of finding violently exceptional joy in this life. I know we all want it, but I didn't take you anywhere to show you that you're going to get it in this life, because it's not in the Bible. The wise men found it, and I'll bet they never forgot that experience. Oh, over and over again. But we probably won't experience it until the return of Jesus Christ. When we experience the Son of God in person. Imagine, the wise men saw only the star, which caused their hearts to violently explode with joy. What will our hearts violently do when we see the Son of God in person? What about when we enter the very gates of heaven? What about when we stand before the majestic throne of God? What about when we realize our inheritance? What about when we taste of heavenly food and drink? Or lay our heads down on a godly designed pillow in a godly designed bed? What about when we talk with all the New Testament Bible greats like Paul and Timothy and James and Peter and John and Luke and all the friends and family that you lost while in this life? Folks, even though you don't get to experience such violently exceptional joy today, there is a day coming when you will. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Learn to set your eyes on that time. In so doing, you won't find discouragement taking front seat in your hearts. Finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, all your pains, all your exceptional desires to see exceptional things, your sorrows, your fears, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Here, two Greek words, comprise one English word for exceeding. These two words give a super abundant meaning to exceeding. I have to give you these two Greek words because I know that some of you guys like this kind of thing. I usually stay away from them, and I have, even in this teaching, you know that. They are ais and hyperbole. Ais means completely into or to by hitting the mark. It goes right to it and hits it. It's different than in or just the word to. It always hits the mark. And hyperbole means beyond measure. It just sounds like that, doesn't it? Hyperbole. Together they could be translated totally expressing exceptional. Totally expressing exceptional. There's no better way to express exceptional. That's what it means. Totally expressing the word exceptional. Can you imagine? If I was responsible for writing a paper, Jeremy had to write one on Othello. If I was responsible for writing a paper on how to express exceptional, I'd have to use this word because it totally expresses it. Ais hyperbole. Even though we don't like our light affliction, the light afflictions are like a power generator. Remember I said you can't have exceptional without power? You can have the spaceship in the physical realm, but you can also have stuff in the spiritual realm. But you can't have exceptional without power. And these light afflictions, your sorrows, your fears, the negative junk, the stuff you don't want to go through, that you have to go through in this life, they're like a power generator responsible for producing something totally expressing exceptionality. If you didn't go through the light afflictions, you wouldn't have a way of relating to what's coming. What is that exceptional thing? the eternal burden of God's glory. Well, here's what I say. Lay it on, baby. I'll take it right now. Give it to me. Bring it on. I'm ready, and I hope you are too, for the violently exceptional things of God. Thank you.